This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
All right, welcome everybody into the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got a special guest with me today. But before we bring him on, just a reminder, if you didn't know or if you'd forgotten, shame, shame, shame. But this is the Adam Carriker Show, the show that gives you unique insights, unbridled honesty. Producer Jake and Jacob, our special guests, are going to have a whole lot of fun today. The show that talks Husker sports, college football, and sports in general. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time. Joy, Steve Taylor on Wednesdays. The Loaded Hour. I talk so fast, it's like you get two shows in one. You're welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Grab your lunch. Come join us each and every freaking day here on 93.7 The Ticket, theticketfm.com, of course, charakterchronicles.com. It's where all your Husker sports hopes and dreams will come true. Ladies and gentlemen, it's just science. All right, today we're going to bring on a guest here in about 10 seconds, but at 12:30, I'm going to be interviewing Bob Mancuso, who votes on like every major college football award under God's hot sun. I will go through the entire list when he joins me at about 12:30. But we're talking the Lombardi, the Lou Groza, the All-American team. I mean, I say, hey, can you send me the list? There's like 15 major awards. So I'll read them all off later. He's going to be joining us. And then the new college football playoff rankings will come out tonight. So I will predict how I think the college football playoff final rankings will look. All right. Well, I'll give how they should look tonight. Not how they're going to look or how I think they'll look. How they should look. And when I get things right, it's my fault. When I get things wrong, it's Jake's fault, right, Jake? Isn't that how that works?
I think that's about right.
All right. It's time to bring on our special guest. So he is my son, Jacob. He's joined me numerous times over the years on the Carriker Chronicles, 10 years strong, actually. He was on the ticket, I think, 2 years ago, joined me for a show heading into the Michigan game that year. I think that's correct. I could be wrong. I don't remember. It was so long ago. But my son, Jacob, how you doing today?
Pretty good. How are you?
Why aren't you at school? I said I'd be nice to him when I come firing right out the gate. Why aren't you at school?
I'm playing hooky.
So he's a freshman at Standing Bear High School. Shout out to Standing Bear. I'm just going to slowly shout out every single school and team that my kids are on throughout the year. All right. So shout out to Standing Bear High School, Moore Middle School, Clefcorn Elementary School. All right. But he's a freshman. The sophomores, correct me if I'm wrong, the sophomores are doing the ACTs. And because of that, freshmen don't have to go to school.
Yeah. So it's like the pre-SAT. So it's like the practice test for the test they take as juniors. So me and the juniors don't have school, and they're leaving at like 11 or whatever.
So it's not even the real test, just practice.
Yep.
We're talking about practice.
Yep.
Talk about practice.
It makes perfect.
That's all right. It was awesome because get to spend more time with him. He gets to come join me today. Kid loves sports, football, baseball. Those are the two things that he loves the most when it comes to sports. Now, we did do something rather daredevilish on the way here. And Jacob's face was funny. I said, you ready to swap spots? He's 15. You can kind of figure out where I'm going with this. We back out of our garage, and we've got a long gravel road before we hit the main road. And I looked at him. I said, all right, let's swap spots. His face was one of excitement, a small amount of terror, but mostly excitement and shock. Like, oh, my God, Dad's going to let me drive the truck. Like you were, what were your thoughts? Because I didn't tell you I was going to do that. What were your thoughts?
I wasn't that surprised. So actually, Sunday was the first time I ever really drove mm-hmm. with my grandpa in his truck. But like when you asked me, I was kind of not really expecting it, but kind of was. I was just like, oh boy, I best not drive into the woods.
That would be good. So Sunday, first time you ever drove, you drove with Grandpa, Grandpa McBride, my father-in-law. And then today was the second time ever. Drove to the road, did phenomenal. All right. I don't really have any major critiques. What'd you think?
It's fine. I mean,
it was fine.
All right. I drove at 500 feet. Yay me.
It was longer than that. And you did good. You got to start somewhere.
I appreciate that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. Jake, You have one or two kids, remind me.
Just one. He's 3 years old, so he's got a few years.
So you got about 12, 13 years?
Yeah.
What do you feel inside you when you think of one day getting in the passenger seat of your car and your son's driving? Like, what feelings come up inside of you when you just think of that right now? Knowing you've got all these years, but it's coming someday.
Yeah. Probably a little bit of some of what you're saying earlier, maybe a little more fear compared to what you were saying. I think it'd be exciting and, you know, it'd be a proud moment too.
So this might sound a little silly, but when our kids were younger and Jacob was younger, we used to have these like little John Deere tractors and these four wheelers and this one ugly pink Escalade that's supposed to have shiny rims that fell off like 2 days after we got them, but they drive them all around the yard. And so this might sound silly, but you're learning to drive in some sort of aspect when you're younger. And then I grew up riding four wheelers. In fact, I was chatting with my dad on the way here. I was reliving the story of when he tried to teach. Nobody has to drive stick anymore, but he was trying to teach me how to drive a stick. He took me to an empty parking lot, local high school. I was doing god awful. He looks at me, "You're going to destroy my pickup." And we went home. It lasted about 10 minutes because I was not doing very well on shifting of the gears. But I actually grew up riding four wheelers. I haven't had a whole lot of, knock on wood here, close calls in the car. I've about died legit twice on a four-wheeler. Those are where I think I scared the crap out of my dad. But he's driven four-wheelers. He drove the little toy vehicles when he was younger. Always the best driver. When friends would come over, out of all of our kids, he is the oldest. He was always the best driver. And then a four-wheeler, he always handled that really well. Now, it's been a while since you've driven a four-wheeler, but do you think that helps you at all? Does that give you any confidence at all? Or am I just over here bloviating?
No, I think it helps. Like when, you know, when you see on the sitcom, the blonde sister that doesn't know how to drive at all. I mean, I think it helps a little bit to like drive the four-wheeler.
I think it equates. It's interesting because I've driven jet skis over the years, snowmobiles, and everything in my mind comes back to a four-wheeler. In some way, shape, or form, it all reminds me of a four-wheeler. And I was fortunate enough to drive a lot of jet skis and snowmobiles, probably two or three times. It's all similar in one way, shape, or form to a four-wheeler. Even driving on slick roads, if you get on the side of some gigantic dunes and that sand is loose, and you're either going to figure out how to get to the top, because I would always take on the biggest dunes, or you're going to get to the bottom, whether you want it or not, one way, shape, or form or another, whether you like the way you're going to get down there or not, because I took a couple of the rough ways down, you learn how to drive real fast, and it definitely helps you. All right, you excited about learning to drive some more?
I am. It's going to be pretty cool. I'm also like finally not like, "Hey, Dad, can you come pick me up?" And I can just go home.
So you got to keep in mind, we have six kids. Okay, so ages 7 to 15. So we spread them out, not at all. He's the only boy, so it's me and him versus the freaking world as well. Love you. Love all my daughters, but when I tell you, my real job, Jake, is a family Uber driver. I'm not joking. I look forward to him being able to drive so he can drive. His sister's going to high school next year. There's all of a sudden almost two kids off the plate. Do you have any idea how much that's going to make my life and my wife's life so much easier? Oh, my gosh.
Well, he's got to worry about now becoming the family Uber driver than maybe once he learns to drive.
No, we're not doing that. We're not there yet. Just going to take a little bit off the plate at a time. Oh, okay. Okay, so we're going to talk. Dylan Raiola gave some thoughts on Dana Holgorsen's offense, what he thinks about it, what he likes, his comfortability level. Okay, we're going to chat about that just a little bit. There was a guarantee of a victory in there as well that's been talked about a little bit. National sources actually picked it up. On3, the like, even more starting to pick it up. So we're going to talk about that stuff real quick. But I had two other things real quick before we dive into ball talk. I saw something Steve Sipple put out, and I screenshotted it, and I tried to find it, and I couldn't. But basically, he talked about he doesn't understand why more people don't use umbrellas. Like, yesterday was a very rainy, cloudy day. Did you see that by any chance, Jake?
Oh, it was stormy, yeah, a lot. Like, Sip's thing? Yeah. I saw Sip's thing, too, yeah.
Yeah, basically, why don't more people use umbrellas? And I thought it was quite interesting, because I hate umbrellas. I refuse to use umbrellas unless it's just a torrential downpour, or there's people with me that should not, like young kids or, you know, maybe my wife or something who probably doesn't want to get wet, you know, maybe done up the hair, makeup, all that. Jacob, what do you feel about the liberal use of umbrellas or lack thereof?
Well, anytime I hear umbrellas or like torrential downpour, I think of that one movie, the Christmas movie where the daughter goes away and then it's a Christmas movie and then she comes back, but they got the parents have planned a cruise And now they got to rush to put up all the Christmas decorations.
Can you think of what he's talking about, Jake?
Trying to think through it.
Like the opening scene of that movie.
Christmas with the Cranks.
Yeah, Christmas with the Cranks. And the opening scene when they're, when like it's just a downpour.
Yep.
And it, and then the like the roof caves in. Yep. And the Santa Claus keeps trying to sell them umbrellas. Mm-hmm. So I think they're good to use if it's raining out.
So there's a salesman trying to sell him umbrellas. The main character is Tim Allen. Tim Allen keeps saying no, and he keeps getting torrential downpour from the rain. Then he's standing over the awning, and it's not like a firm awning. It's like a soft one, and then all the water splashes on him. But the Christmas with the Cranks, if you've never seen it, it's actually pretty funny. They're going to skip Christmas is essentially the theme of the movie. They're going to skip Christmas, and then they end up having to have Christmas, and funny things ensue. All right. For me, I don't like, I think it comes back to the trenches mindset. Oh, rain doesn't bother me. I'm a big, tough guy. I'm a big, tough lineman. And, you know, it's funny. It was raining yesterday, and I didn't have an umbrella, did I, Jake?
No.
But I had something on I don't ever wear. What was it? I usually walk in with these black pants, and then I take them off because I get hot while I get ramped up talking. Then I put them back on when I leave about every day, right?
The other day you had shorts on?
No, yesterday. What yesterday. I have on top yesterday.
Mm.
Now I had a coat. Mm. I never wear coats. I was informed by my wife that I always bring a laptop. Okay. Normally it's in front of me ready to go. I don't need it today. It's like the first time all season I don't need it. I'll probably bust it out later. She's like, you don't get that wet. And I was like, well, how am I going to? So I put a coat on, which actually I don't like. And I put it on over me, and I put it on over the laptop to keep the laptop dry. That was my version of an umbrella. Steve Sipple and I see eye to eye on a lot of things, but apparently we differ on the liberal use of umbrellas or lack thereof. What do you got, Jacob?
Well, and then like when we're up skiing in Colorado, you'll like take your coat off sometimes or just not wear it. You'll just be in your overalls.
I will ski down the mountain in like just my bib and the straps and a t-shirt. Like I get so hot. Like I'm just hot all the time. It's craziness to me. And my mom, I kid you not. Do you know what a turtleneck is? Does anyone even know what a turtleneck is anymore? My mom wears, do you?
I don't.
So basically it's a shirt and this is, I don't know how, this cloth comes up around your neck.
Oh,
it's
called a turtleneck. I've seen her in those, yeah.
Yeah, you've seen her, not them, her in them. Yeah. My mom is the most cold-blooded person I've ever met. So where I grew up was actually a desert. Okay, I know a state of Washington, southeastern corner is actually a desert. It gets up to like 100. There's cactus and literal tumbleweeds blowing over the road. We're about 4 hours from Seattle. There's a gigantic mountain range in the way and prevents the rain from coming over, hence the desert. It'd be 100 degrees, be at my baseball games. I'd be pouring ice water on my head. My mom would be over there in a turtleneck with a long-sleeve shirt on. Just blew my mind. And I'm the exact opposite. I'm skiing down the mountain in like 20, 15 degrees with a T-shirt on, like it's crazy.
You look like a big tree going down the mountain.
I've been told that by a couple of my girls. I look like a big tree.
That's why we'd always lose you.
Well, that's because I tried to go into the tree. Sometimes it went well, sometimes it didn't. But didn't you get sucked in one time?
When I was like, what was I like, maybe 9 or 10?
So he would follow me. I'm skiing down the mountain, and I look back to check, and he's gone. I'm like, great. I just lost my son. This is not good news. And so I kind of like, I'm like, well, where could he have gone? So I'm like, did he go past me? Is he like sprawled out somewhere with his ski equipment everywhere? So I finally kind of mosey on over into the trees. Tell him what happened.
So we're going through the trees, and like, you know, there's a path and then you got the trees, but there was a break in between where the road, like where you're skiing on and then the trees. And then there's just like this snow right there. And it looked like normal snow to me, but really under it was just
nothing.
Basically like a 4 foot drop.
Yep.
And I skied into that. And I'm like probably like 5 feet tall at this point. And I fell into it, and I had no way of getting out. So I had to start going like, help.
Yep.
Help. And then like 5 minutes later, he comes like, what are you doing?
I looked down, and basically there was just snow and then nothing. So when he went over it thinking it was regular snow, it wasn't. He like fell through, and it's like up to his neck. So he's fine. Like he's not going to suffocate or anything. But I'm like, he's like 5 feet down there. I'm tired. I've been skiing all day. I'm cold. I don't have a coat on. I don't want to get him out. Like, how am I going to do this? We got him out there, obviously, because he's here. All right, let's talk a little bit of ball. By the way, all right, I wasn't going to share this, but he texted his girlfriend. He's going to be on the show.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, you say it then. You say it. Is it better if you say it?
Basically, I texted her that I was going to be on the show, and then she goes, just don't embarrass yourself.
I think he's doing good. What do you think, Jake?
Yeah, so far, so good.
He's doing phenomenal. All right. Let's talk a little bit of ball. Dylan Raiola basically talking about Dana Holgorsen's offense. He said a couple of things that I thought were pretty interesting. Number one, he said he believes, and actually it makes sense to me too, that they're going to, and it's not like they're going to make 6 months worth of improvement, a whole entire offseason worth of improvement in 1 week. but he believes they can make their biggest leap of improvement within Dana's offense from the USC game to the Wisconsin game, which makes sense because if you think about usually every year, most college football teams as a whole make their biggest leap from game one to two. So essentially, if you're learning Dana Holgorsen's, well, Dana's learning the Huskers offense, but you're trying to gel together, I should say. You're trying to gel together. That leap from game one, USC, which is game one under Dana Holgorsen calling plays, to game two, which is Wisconsin, you could see, again, it's not going to be 6 months worth of leap, but you could see the biggest amount of leap you're going to see, barring Holgorsen being the OC next year. So Dana's been, he was brought in during the bye week. He was made the offensive coordinator calling plays literally the week before Nebraska was going to play USC. And this is going to be a second week calling plays. How much of a jump? I don't even know if I want to use the word jump. How much of a bigger stride do you think Nebraska's offense can make going into game two with Dana Holgorsen calling plays for the offense versus game one, Jacob?
So based on what like Raiola said, and he's the guy, obviously he's going to be like energetic and like happy towards the Huskers, no matter how the season's going, because he's the guy at the front helm of that. But he is the guy that's in the practices, taking the reps every day. That is basically the heart and soul of the offense. So if he thinks it's going in the right direction, then they got to be doing something right. And I think that this is probably the most important game because I don't think Wisconsin is as good as Iowa, and they've got to come into Lincoln. It's going to be loud because we really want a bowl game. So this is the game, I think, to win. And if Raiola says it looks good, then, I mean, he's the guy to trust.
So what if he's just saying what he's supposed to say?
Then we'll see it on the field Saturday. That's what's going to happen.
I'm going to get into I think you're right. Everyone knows I try to look at the whole picture, not just the corner of the picture that we want to see and feel good about. I try to look at the whole picture. It does make logical sense. Again, they're probably going to see the biggest improvement from the USC game to Wisconsin game offensively as far as gelling as much as you can in this short time frame with Dana Holgorsen calling plays. By the way, Jake, as you can stop me at any point in time, any show, any day, if you've got a text or someone who's called in or a question on the text line. What is that text line, Jake?
402-464-5685, the Starter Heyman text line.
And something I need to respond to. Do we have anything at this point?
There's like a paragraph I'd have to read through to see if it's worth it, but I'll let you know.
Somebody wrote a novel. That's all right. Yeah. Send in novels, send in short sentences. We're good with whatever. All right. So for me, I do think it makes some sense that Dana is, you know, an offensive, I don't want to say genius, but he's really good on the offensive side of the ball, and that's an understatement. Okay, Dylan's uber talented. I've been kind of saying, hey, they've put too much on his plate all year. They need to simplify. They need someone who understands the timing of the play calls within the game, which is just as important as the actual play calls themselves. You got to call the right play at the right time, and they're kind of learning each other. So I think it does make sense that they're going to be more comfortable going into this game and maybe make a bigger leap. Wisconsin has not scored more than a touchdown in a game in over a month. They just fired their OC. All right. They got smoked by Iowa. Iowa actually dropped over 40 points on them. I'm still surprised we're favored. That Iowa, all being said, are you surprised we're favored?
Iowa knows what a touchdown is.
Well, they do this year. They got a new offensive coordinator.
Oh, boy.
So are you surprised we're favored? 2.5-point favorite. We were opened as a 1-point favorite. It's actually grown.
I don't know. I don't know. It's probably because we're at home. If we're just
senior
honest,
day,
it's probably because we're at home. The crowd's going to be loud like it always is, but really loud this Saturday because they really want to see the Huskers in a bowl game. The last time we were in a bowl game, I was in kindergarten. So I think it's been quite a bit since we've even seen them play in a postseason game.
Yeah, it's been a while. Hit me up if there's any sort of questions or anything over there. I opened the whole show yesterday to the fans, and I just want to reiterate, every show every day is open to the fans. So Jake can interrupt me at any point in time. Yeah, we the people. All right. So some of the other things that Dylan talked about, he likes that Holgorsen wants to move a little bit quicker. Things are a little bit more up-tempo. You saw that at times versus USC, but that's something you got to be ingrained in you from day one. So it wasn't consistent throughout the game. There were times like at the start of the game where I felt like we were getting to the ball quicker at the start of the second half, but it wasn't consistent. And so that's something the quarterback wants. I'll never forget. I was in DC and it was after Robert's rookie year, RG3 won rookie of the year. And he'd hurt the knee and they had all that freaking drama. The whole time I was in DC, there was drama from Albert Haynesworth to RG3 and Mike Shanahan and all that stuff. But the big thing that offseason that was not talked about publicly, I'll talk about it here because not a lot of Redskin fans, and it was years ago, so I can talk about it here. Him and Mike Shanahan had a gigantic battle that offseason because RG3 wanted to go no huddle. He wanted to go spread no huddle what he had done at Baylor. And Mike Shanahan said, that puts our defense on the field more. It's going to wear them out. It affects the rest of the team. Yeah, the offense will probably put up more points, but now you're affecting the rest of the team, and all three units have to work together as a team, not just what's best for the offense and everybody else figure it out. And they butted heads. And ultimately, Shanahan got fired. And I'll just say it. I love Robert. He's a good dude. We keep in touch to this day. But he was an integral part of a multi-time Super Bowl champion head coach getting fired because of that major disagreement. My point is quarterbacks like tempo. They like to go fast. That's what they want to do. So, of course, Dylan's going to like going a little bit quicker. Just got to get everybody on board. Doing it a little bit more consistently or a lot of bit more consistently throughout the entire game. All right. Dylan Raiola. Basically guarantee. It was interesting with the quote he said, the actual quote he said, basically saying we're going to go to a bowl game. We're going to get the win next week to go to a bowl game. Well, next week is Wisconsin. It's like he guaranteed victory versus Wisconsin. Nobody's phrased it that way. Everybody's phrased it as he guaranteed a bowl game. So I got to ask you, Jay, because I'm sure you've seen the quote. Is it kind of like he guaranteed victory versus Wisconsin? And I want to be clear. He did it like, it wasn't some big, bold Joe Namath proclamation, okay? He just kind of casually said it, and he just kind of was like, matter of fact. And I don't even, the intent behind it wasn't to be disrespectful or bulletin board material, although it probably is, because that's what coaches do. They use that type of stuff. But to me, it was just kind of casual. Like, Husker fans don't tune out, because he kind of hinted that they were probably tuning out, or they've logged out, I think was the quote. And I think he wants Husker fans, like, stay tuned. Like, this isn't over. We're going to get this done next week. And I think that was more the intent. But if you just listen to the words, was it almost like a guarantee of victory versus Wisconsin specifically?
Well, I mean, he did say, he said, we'll get the win next week.
Yeah.
So that's lining it right up. And so I think to a degree, I think you're right. Just the way in which he said it, it kind of came off as like leadership.
Yeah.
Let's get ourselves out of this 4-game rut type of thing. Not so much, you know, obviously an easy game against Wisconsin coming up. So I don't think there's too much need for bulletin board material out of it, but if Wisconsin's desperate,
oh, they're going to use it,
and they seem desperate.
Yeah, Luke Fickell should use it, but was that really the intent? I don't think so. What do you think, Jacob?
Man, I don't know. It's two sides of the same coin. It's looking at as you got to have somebody that can step up and say that we need to have a leader that can say that we're going to win these games. But on that same token, you can't go guaranteeing wins when you haven't won much in the past decade. So, like, when you take a guy like Ocho Cinco, even though I didn't watch him, he's a little bit past my my time. But, like, a guy like that, you know, could trash talk you the entire game, and it couldn't matter because you can stop him. So until we start to win some games, I don't know if we should really be saying stuff like that. But I also do like that our freshman quarterback is taking a step up and saying, hey, we're going to get this done. So
Jacob and I actually just – I knew what he was going to say. He knows what I'm going to say. We discussed this just casually. He knew what we were going to talk about on the show. But I was just kind of like, hey, what do you think? And, you know, I knew he was going to say that. For me, I think the way he said it, I think the intent behind it matters. It wasn't disrespectful. It wasn't a bold proclamation. It was kind of like what Jake said. This is meant to be more leadership. Somebody taking the bull by the horns. Like, we need something or someone to believe in that something's going to change here. And for a long time, I'll just be honest, Matt Rhule was that guy. I'm not saying he's not that guy, but he's not unequivocally that guy at the moment either. I said yesterday, I'm rooting for him. I think he can absolutely do it, but he's not there yet. I'm going to wait and see mode. So somebody's got to step up. And if this is how, and it just kind of seemed to just happen naturally within the moment. It wasn't predetermined or pre-planned. If that's what Dylan Raiola feels, and I'll tell you right now, I like it. And even if we lose, he will catch hell for it. People will clip that and send it to him. I don't care. I still like it. If we win, he'll be praised to high heavens. If he catches hell for it, I still like it. Even if we lose and if we win. Final thoughts? I know we got to go to break. We're late calling Joe. Any final thoughts, guys? Either one of you? No?
No.
No. All right. No, absolutely love it.
All right. Let's go to break. When we come back, a man who votes on about 8 million different major awards in college football, Mr. Joe Mancuso, is going to join me. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Warning. The following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even. like your efforts are futile and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.